And W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Steve Kathan. Two adults were shot today at East High School in Denver. Police say a suspect is still being sought and apparently left school grounds. The condition of the victims is not known. Just last month, a student there was shot outside school and died. For parents there, another tragedy.
We're all asking the same questions, like why 20 years after Columbine are we still answering and asking the same exact questions, and why can't we just send our kids to school in safety? And that's a question that I can't answer.
There's word the grand jury investigating former President Trump will not meet today. WCBS-TV's Zinnia Maldonado on the anticipation over a possible indictment in the hush money case.
Despite calls to protest directly from Trump, demonstrations across New York have remained somewhat small.
Take off!
But with the grand jury still investigating, law enforcement remains on high alert. The NYPD setting up heavy fencing around the courthouse, placing SWAT teams at strategic locations, and ordering all 35,000 of its officers, including undercover cops, to dress in full uniform and be ready to mobilize at a moment's notice.
In about an hour, we'll get the latest word on interest rates from Federal Reserve policymakers. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
With fresh instability in the banking sector, financial markets are now expecting, maybe hoping, for a more modest quarter percentage point increase.
If I were on the Fed, I'd recommend no rate increase.
Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, says the Fed has a tough job after the bank failures this month.
They're trying to thread the needle here, balance things, trying to do enough to help support the banking system and financial system, get that on solid ground, but at the same time continue to fight inflation.
A cleanup today in the San Francisco Bay Area after the latest bashing from a storm system. KPIX reporter Betty Yu.
Hurricane-like winds whipped up waves on the bay and knocked down giant trees along the Embarcadero. A big rig overturned on the Bay Bridge to Oakland, snarling traffic for hours. Pedestrians also proved to be no match against the sudden windstorm. People struggled to walk and clung onto street posts to keep their balance.
It's day two of the strike by 30,000 Los Angeles school district workers.
I expect the students to know that you have to fight for your rights. I teach history, and our students know that we fight for our rights.
Scientists have pulled DNA from Ludwig von Beethoven's hair to look for clues about his many health problems and hearing loss. They weren't able to figure out why the composer lost his hearing, but they say liver disease likely killed him. Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 117 points. This is CBS News.
Get 50% off tax prep at Jackson Hewitt. Limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max savings $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Dan Kelly says his opponent talks about politics too much to be a fair and impartial Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
Although she says the formulated words that she will follow the law, she's never said one thing in this campaign that would lead to any reasonable belief that that's what she would do.
Kelly faced Janet Protasiewicz in the one and only debate of the general election campaign yesterday. Wisconsin Democrats are trying to legalize abortion again. Governor Evers' bill would restore Wisconsin's abortion laws to what they were before Roe v. Wade was overturned. Republicans have their own bill to allow exceptions for rape and incest. In sports, Wisconsin is going to the NIT Final Four next week after beating Oregon last night. The Bucks host San Antonio tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And as you know, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're switching it up a little bit tonight, and we got Judge Everett Mitchell on, and he's represents out there in Dane County in Wisconsin, and we're really excited to have Judge Everett Mitchell with us, and we have a lot to talk about here in a short time. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Man, I'm so glad to be here with you, Robert. Thank you so much for having me this evening. I appreciate it.
We're really excited, and we have a couple things we definitely want to talk about, but I also want you to be able to share what you want to talk about, too, and that's kind of the give and take we really try to do here at Native Roots Radio. You are a judge in Dane County, and also you are a minister, too.
Yeah, I am a judge in Dane County. I'm the presiding judge over our juvenile division here in Dane County. So I work a lot with our families who lose their children. I also work with young people who get in trouble with the law. I do civil and family cases. And yes, I'm the senior pastor of Christ of Solid Rock Church here in Madison. So, and I also teach at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School, where I teach two courses. I'm an adjunct professor, and I teach two courses, on one on racism and the law, and then I teach the second one on juvenile justice administration.
Yeah, so exciting. What do you got cooking now? I know you just went through an election, and I know we've had Judge Janet on our show here at Native Roots, and we are always talking about Wisconsin because, one, we have so much coverage in Wisconsin with our show, but it's our sister state in a lot of ways, and affects what's happening all over Turtle Island, and there's a big election coming up, Judge.
It is huge. And I know every time politicians come on and say this is the most consequential election of a lifetime. But I think anytime you have an opportunity to put justices in the bench or in the seat at the Supreme Court, it becomes consequential because of the laws that they can impact with those decisions. And while most people may not quite understand the impact that those laws can have, I would say that circuit court judges, appellate judges, Supreme Court judges really touch a lot of lives. And it's very important that we have individuals with a level of integrity, commitment to the law, but also just a heart that has a value for people. And that is the kind of desire that I have for our state. And so, yes, every election to me is important. And I'm really glad that this particular election in Wisconsin is getting so much attention, because it allows for us to pay attention to the nuances of why these things are so important to our communities.
Well, the election, last presidential election, Wisconsin Supreme Court judges voted 4-3 to okay the election. That's how insane things could be in Wisconsin if we don't appoint and vote for the right judges.
I totally agree. And so these decisions are going to start coming back to our states, you know, and having, you know, as the Supreme Court has, our United States Supreme Court has become more what we call leaning conservative. Those six justices are really starting to push issues back to the states to resolve, you know, whether it is the legislature or the executive branches. And if they can't resolve it, then those state courts are becoming in many ways, it's the last line of defense for the battleground between ideological perspectives that need to be resolved at that moment. And these ideologies are always, you know, in some ways to be seemingly in conflict. But that's why we have, you know, democracy. We have to argue for the best ideas so that those best ideas can, you know, rise to the top.
Exactly. You know, there was a Ho-Chunk lady, matter of fact, a judge in Ho-Chunk that ran, Trisha Zunker, who ran for, I believe, representative or senator in Wisconsin. And it was just so gerrymandered where she was. It was really quite startling for me, for paying attention to what was going on in Wisconsin. And what her opponent was saying was... kind of a couple steps out of reality, I thought, when I was listening, but he still won and beat her, and she had a really good campaign. What can we do about all the gerrymandering that's happening in Wisconsin, if anything?
Well, I think there have been lawsuits that they've tried to put a test together around partisan gerrymandering. That's always been a racial gerrymandering test that the Supreme Court sometimes doesn't always apply equally, but at least the partisan gerrymandering is one that is still working this way again through the Supreme Court, so that we can finally get some kind of direction on whether or not a particular map that is drawn can have such a partisan effect that it really invalidates the ability for people to have their voices heard. And I think this last November was I won't say it's the first time, I would say that became a unified consensus that they were understanding the impact of how you can vote but still lose your voice at the same time. You know, people may have had that attack. Communities like Milwaukee, you know, they've been bragging about that attack in Milwaukee about limiting the black and brown votes so that they didn't come out and vote in the Senate race. But that is the same strategy that they then applied statewide. And so now a statewide impact was felt this last November because people realized, like you said, Miss Zunker, like, she recognized that she had a campaign, she had a powerful voice, but even in that situation, they had structured it such that the voices of those people who would vote for her were in the minority, and the other voice that really is outside of the public mainstream was the one who won the election.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. One of our sisters that's been on the show many times, Ruth Buffalo, who's out of North Dakota, the same thing happened to her. It was like it was gerrymandered. Her support was right out of her jurisdiction in the next election. And after winning two in a row, she got beat and beat soundly because of the borders of the voting changed.
Yeah. I know it is, and it's heart-wrenching to really articulate to people how that shift happens, right? To lose your voice is something that I think historically, you know, as African-Americans, we paid attention to all the different ways in which the vote is such a precious, precious equalizer of everybody, but yet it has always been under consistent attack, and, you know, you just compound all these very different pieces that happen at the same time, from reproductive choice, or whether we're talking about voting rights, or we're talking about, you know, the Indian Child Welfare Act, all these different ways in which we're having conversations, you know, generally are impacted by how people vote. And so they've always been under attack. And I think, you know, from a criminal justice side as a judge, I see this evolution of different ways in which the vote is always being under assault, you know, even by going earlier in generations, you know, charging 16-year-olds with felony charges so that they become a charge as an adult. And even before they even have the right to exercise the vote, they've already lost it, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I was a high school teacher, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's something hopefully we can change soon. You know, we're here with Judge Everett Mitchell out of Dane County here in Wisconsin, and we're just having a nice conversation here. But we're going to take a quick break, Judge, and pay some bills here. But we're really excited, and we're going to get going here. And I know you have a hard stop because you have something coming up real quick. And I really appreciate you stopping in, because it's very important for us to talk to you and about what's happening in our sister state, Wisconsin, and also how it affects the whole country. So we'll be right back with Judge Everett Mitchell, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Native American rights are on the ballot April 4th. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She values Wisconsin's tribes as sovereign nations and recognizes Native rights with fairness and integrity. Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering. We deserve someone that knows these things matter. In-person early voting begins March 21st. Check your municipality's early voting schedule at vote.wisdoms.org or call the Voter Protection Hotline at 608-336-3232. You can register to vote at the polls on Election Day with a photo ID and proof of residence. Your tribal ID can be used as a photo ID to vote. Stand up for your people. Vote for someone who will stand up for you and stand up for Native rights. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from Your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Thanks, Zoe. Hey, we're here with Judge Everett Mitchell from Dane County, Wisconsin, and we're just having a great conversation here. You know, Judge, one of the things that's really interesting to me in this last cycle, you started out the show kind of talking about, you know, we kind of are droning on and on saying this is the most important election. I think the young ones, Gen Z, are really stepping up, and they outnumbered my generation for the first time in any election. And I don't think they're standing for what's going on here in the shenanigans that are happening all over. And it's really exciting to see the young ones step it up.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the youth engagement. I think, you know, it's always interesting is that, you know, these cycles kind of go over and over again. You think about the engagement really started for me seeing young people, you know, right at the apex of COVID with the murdering of George Floyd. And I think the intersections of, you know, George Floyd really erupted all of the different causes, you know, like you mentioned in the promo, the missing of Native women, the disappearing of Native women, the ways in which, you know, Black and brown bodies are often, you know, forgotten and not appreciated. I think that continues to bring new energy for generations to say, you know what, if we want to see changes, we have to be very proactive in making sure that we're the ones fighting for the change to occur. So I've been I've been impressed, man. These young people are smart, they're intelligent, they're insightful, asking the right questions, engaging the right issues. And ultimately, I feel more comfortable about our future because they, while they, you know, sometimes we may criticize them for being a TikTok generation, in many ways, they are able to amass so much knowledge and be exposed to so many things that we can have critical conversations with while they're even younger, so that when they do have that ability to vote or to exercise leadership or run for office, that they're already in tune with not just a local conversation, but a national conversation as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing, too, I want to say, too, and Zoe's a Gen Z, and you can jump in a minute here, Zoe, but they don't have the same prejudices as boomers. They see people as people. I mean, you can go on and on, Zoe. You know, we really appreciate your generation.
Lots to talk about there. I guess one of my questions for you, Judge Everett Mitchell, is what are some of those issues then that, you know, are at the forefront of your campaign, and what are some of the issues that you foresee the Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, coming up against that we have to kind of prepare for and, you know, help, you know, to help people figure out who to vote for in this upcoming election?
Well, obviously, you know, reproductive choice is on the table. And I believe, you know, I always focus on reproductive justice because the terminology encompasses healthcare in general. Like, I think people of color have always struggled with access and our bodies being able to have, you know, quality access to the care we need to take care of ourselves and our communities. And our bodies have always been under attack. We've never been able to have that kind of clear choice about what we want to do with our bodies. So that when people ask me, why is this consequential? I say, well, in Wisconsin, you have Black and brown bodies that have always been under assault. And so the idea of choice and being able to make that choice becomes elemental to who we are as a human race. And to lose that because some people have some affinity toward either a religious perspective or just, you know, they've been ruminating these ideas for so long with generations, doesn't make sense with our current world. But I also think there are other issues that are, you know, what are we going to do with our young people? How, of course, going to help our communities that are being overwhelmed with opiates and heroin and meth in our state? How are we going to ensure that young people have a path towards success in education and mental health, which is, that to me, is a paramount need in our communities? How are we going to ensure that, you know, we, you know, support our Native and tribal indigenous communities with, you know, with the Indian Child Welfare Act, which is cemented in our statute, now being under attack at the Supreme Court level? I think all of those questions, right? Every big question, affirmative action and education and whether or not, you know, the funding cycles for educational services to being provided are very important. I just came off a meeting the other day where they were talking about it's going to cost $1,250 per $1,250 per day to educate a child, to incarcerate a juvenile child. That's over $450,000 a year. And yet, when it comes to the daily rate that it will cost to you know, just educate a child, is like $8,000 a year. So the imbalance of that shows that we have a lot to work on. We have a lot to do.
Yeah, that's such a really, really, really good point. And, you know, you touched a little bit on, you know, the pipeline to prison, you know, and the young ones get a record. They can't vote. You know, they don't feel part of the system. I mean, it's been a subtle attack for many, many years. But in the last cycle before this president, it's, you know, I saw a baseball cap, and it, what it said was, make racists afraid again. They've come out of the woodwork and felt empowered by the past president, not Biden, but, you know, we don't like to say Trump on the show, but President Trump, you know, if he's running again, and he's, well, let me just say that. Go ahead. I was going to go on a roller, Judge.
I know. But you have to also understand that racism has, you know, it has two parts to it. It has a theatrical part, which is, I think a lot of theatrics are what we're seeing, you know, people coming out, what you said, coming out the woodworks. But I also think it also has a private part. And private part is this idea that people of color are inferior to whites. And, you know, it goes all the way back to, you know, the Dred Scott decision when, you know, the Supreme Court embedded this idea that, you know, whites are superior and blacks are inferior. And that subtly has continued throughout the course of our history. And it has embedded itself into the very DNA of those relationships that are not integrated in communities or spaces together. So at least for me, I think when we have these conversations about what is race and what is racist, I say, you know, I tell people, be careful not to think that those who are theatrical are the ones who are the most damaging, and not realize that the ones who keep private perspectives can be just as damaging as those as well.
Wow, absolutely, really good point. We got like a minute left before you have to roll, but we got to do this again soon because you're preaching to the choir. But I think what's really important to preaching to the choir, and I do say that as you being a minister too. See how I put that in, you know, kind of.
I do. I liked it.
Yeah. Is that we also need to be reminded and stay engaged. And I think that's what's really important about this show, about what you do, and both as a judge and as a minister and a father. We need to stay engaged.
Right. And I think that's part of what I would love to be engaged. I would love to come back and have a conversation about the Indian Child Welfare Act, because that's one of my core classes that principals I teach in my law school course. Because I'm, you know, deeply committed to educating not only future lawyers, but my community, African-Americans, about the historical legacies of abuse that many of our indigenous communities have suffered as well. And we need to be in solidarity with that as well as we educate ourselves about what racism really looks like.
Absolutely. And we got to let you go in just a couple seconds here. I just want to say, last year, our state House and Senate passed the MMIWR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Task Force here, that's being funded by the government. And now this year, it's going to be voting on opening up another office that's going to be supported by the government for our African-American relatives, too. So we're trying to lead the way here in Minnesota and work on good things in a good way.
Yeah, and those for Wisconsin, make sure you go out and vote April 4th. Vote Janet for Justice, all right? Thank you all so much, Robert. Thank you, Zoe.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Judge, for coming on, and we'll see you. Peeni Gigi again, thanks.
All right, see you soon. All right, love you both. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was awesome, Zoe.
Yeah, really, really, you know, important points he brought up. And also just like, I can't get over how many different roles, you know, educator, judge, yeah. You know, preacher.
Teaching too, yeah. It makes me feel kind of, no, I'm doing a lot.
We're all doing a lot, but that was really incredible. Yeah. It's good to know what's going on in Wisconsin too. As you said, you know, they are a sister state. You know, it's important to understand the issues that they're battling too, because they're not that different than what we face in Minnesota, you know.
Well, we all move around, you know, like, you know, Ho-Chunk is mostly, our people are mostly in Wisconsin, so we have a lot of relatives there. And I know a lot of your relatives are out in North and South Dakota too, along with up north.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's also just, I think, as Midwesterners, you know, right. Part of our role to understand what's going on in the states around us, you know, especially as like Minnesota, for one, continues to kind of become this almost like refuge state, especially when it comes to reproductive justice, you know, given all the, you know, legislature that's recently been passed in the South. So, yeah, it's important to understand all that.
Well, Zoe, we're in a couple different twilight zones here with what's been going on with reproductive rights. And I like to say it's women's rights, you know, and whose rights are going to be taken next? That's the thing that we have to keep the eye on the prize and see and how important these elections are, you know. People voted for the orange guy, and here we go. We've got the Supreme Court, you know, undoing things that laws that have been around for 50, 60.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Two faculty members have been shot at a Denver high school. KONO's Michael Abeda reports.
They just put crime tape up around the building out there by East High School. So things obviously getting a little bit more busy out here as students who were at lunch or grabbing something to eat are returning to school to find that their school has been taped off.
So far, no arrest. Today's expected session of the Manhattan grand jury investigating the Trump hush money payment to Stormy Daniels has been postponed.
Trump continues to speak out via social media, blasting Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, insisting he, quote, presides over one of the most crime-ridden, violent, and dangerous cities, while also insisting he committed no crime of any kind.
WCBS's Zinnia Maldonado. The Federal Reserve is deciding whether to raise interest rates.
If I were on the Fed, I'd recommend no rate increase.
Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, says the Fed has a tough job after the bank failures this month.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe. CBS News Brief.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The third-generation owners of Union Star Cheese Factory near Fremont were found dead of gunshot wounds on Saturday. Police arrested the 25-year-old son of David and Jan Metzik, Eric, later that day. Investigators found a journal in Eric's room at his parents' home where he talked about eliminating them. Metzik now facing two counts of first-degree intentional homicide, cash bond set at $1 million. Metzik has a hearing coming up March 30th. He is facing life in prison. Two bills that will dramatically increase penalties for reckless driving go up for a vote in both houses of the Wisconsin legislature today. The GOP-backed measures include doubling fines and forfeiture ranges for reckless driving and subsequent offenses. The second bill allows police to impound a repeat reckless driver's vehicle. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Perfectly with their 30-plus wines by the glass. Located off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul or at CafeLatte.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Right on. I was going to say, hey, Zoe, pick one. Yeah. So, Zoe, it was really interesting. There was a lot of things that were interesting, but it was awesome to hear the judge talk about ICWA, because that's coming up really soon. And sometime in June, I heard that the Supreme Court will be voting on it. So that's frightening and scary. Minnesota has tightened up their ICWA law here, which is good. But, you know, one of the things, Zoe, I think you know this, and I want to double check, but Minnesota has the most Native American children in foster care. Have you heard that?
I don't know if I've heard that exact statistic, but I could completely believe it, you know, especially given there's just been so many stories that have come out as of late of, you know, the abuse that many of our Native children face in these foster homes, especially when they're not able to be with their family, you know, as ICWA is, you know, is supposed to protect them in, you know, staying with their families. So, yeah, really, really important issue. And again, our children, you know, come first, and they should always come first. But as we see on the federal level and, you know, sometimes on the state level, they not necessarily always the case.
Yeah, you know, one of the most important things is our children. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm 61 years old and I was adopted. And I feel like my generation and probably my mother's generation, too, lost a lot of, they got assimilated and lost a lot of the language, lost a lot of the ways. And now I feel like there's a big revitalization happening around Native Americans. Of course, we've had our traditional people and, of course, a Native American church, too, to keep these things going. But as a general rule, I think we've missed out on a couple generations. So it's been good to see the young ones like yourself. And when I was teaching in school, high school, people grasping on to their language and trying to get into things and learning more than any kind of opportunity I had as a young one, especially like in public schools or, but you know, our community's all over the place, Zoe.
Right. No, it is really important to acknowledge that our older generations, you know, went through a lot, and now our youth, have benefited from the incredible work that, you know, our predecessors have done for us to be able to practice our religion, to be able to speak our language. And, you know, I just see it coming full circle again to, you know, I think about our prophecies too, you know, that we are like, what, the seventh generation, and we're just going to continue to come back to where we used to be. You know, it might not look the same, might not feel the same, but, you know, we're going to have so many more relatives in that with us, you know, especially our Black relatives too, you know. So I think that's really great act of solidarity just to hear from Judge Everett Mitchell today too.
Yeah, it was really good. And one of the things, were you at Standing Rock? I know you were probably 15.
I was a teen in high school, and by the time I wanted to go or was able to go, my parents were like, it's getting too crazy out there, you know. So Ogum right. was nodding. Well,
we talk about the seventh generation, but we also know a lot of really good things have happened since Standing Rock too. The eighth fires went everywhere when Standing Rock ended, and that means a lot of different things to a lot of people, but I see it in, we have TV shows now, a lot of books coming out, mainstreaming television shows, a movie like Prey, that was all Native Americans starring in that. So there's been a push again, and it's almost similar to the 90s. After Dancing with Kevin Costner came out, all of a sudden they saw that Native American movies were bankable, and we had some really good movies in the 90s, and then we had a lull, and now it seems like we're back on the upswing.
Right. No, it's really exciting, and I just feel like I'm just so grateful for our young ones to be able to finally see themselves on screen, you know, like, especially in shows like Reservation Dogs or, you know, like you said, Prey, like so many things are coming out right now. And we can also go beyond just showing our pain. We can also show our humor and our love for each other and have some deeper conversations within media because we have bigger platforms now, which are really incredible.
It's funny, too, Native Americans, and Ogama's just joined us, too. Good to see you, Ogama. Give each other a hard time, and if they're not joking with you and giving you a hard time, they don't like you. So it's kind of the opposite of what you see maybe out in the white world, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, it's always good to know that when someone's ripping on you, it's more of an act of love than anything else. And it's always funny to bring, you know, your non-native relatives onto the res or in native spaces and have them kind of experience that and just, you know, just a part of the culture. And when you can join in, it's always fun to, you know,
exactly,
partake, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I haven't felt that from you or Ogama. You guys haven't ripped on me or anything. So now I'm kind of wondering if you guys like me or not. So I got to take that with me after the show and kind of think about that.
Just takes more time for me. I'm always like, you know, you got to see how far you can go with certain people when it comes to jokes. There's always a line, well, right?
I'm very sensitive. I'm an emerging male of the new millennium, and I'm very sensitive. I cry at sad commercials. Ogamayan, you're on mute. She doesn't
I'm just I'm in. Just imagining you crying to that Sarah McLachlan song. And I was chuckling that Arms of the Angels with the with the three-legged dog, and it gets me every time. It really does, that late night
time. Me too. Commercial. Sad movies too, and the sad commercials, really. Yeah, you're sensitive too, Ogama, that's right. But you know, part of that too is a good thing. You can always use your asset or your defect as an asset, and you have empathy for other people and can feel their pain and see things that normal people can't when you have that deep empathy and deep emotion.
Yeah, I like to consider myself an empath, but I like to call myself what they call a recovering empath, which means I'm working to recognize the things that have made me maybe take responsibility for other people's emotions, and working to establish some healthy boundaries with that. And I like to think that, you know, most of the Native people I know and most of the allies I know, the good ones, are, you know, working through their traumas and their past histories and working to make the world a better place through themselves. And I think that there's a lot of honor in that, even if it may make you quote unquote sensitive in the time.
Right. Well, owning it too. And I think as a male, it's always been different for me because I've always felt like kind of the opposite. And I don't know if this is a Dr. Phil show or what, but I have felt the opposite when I was younger. If I start crying, I'll never stop. So then you go the other direction, you know, as being mad or angry or whatever, hurt turns into anger and all those things. But I always had that deep down thought that if I started crying in front of people, I wouldn't stop, which is kind of trippy if you think about it.
It is a little, I'm one of those people, I cry when I'm angry. So if you see me crying, you don't always have to feel bad for me. It usually means I'm mad. So that's one thing. But I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm mad. I always tell my daughter that water is medicine, which means tears are medicine. So don't be afraid of them. They're there to help you. And sometimes that helps her and sometimes it doesn't. But,
well, you the know, seeds it's something planted, I have to remind well, myself of too. The seeds planted, it will someday help her because of the things that you say to her in a good way and Jay say to her and her dad says to her, say in a good way, that sticks with you. We got to remember that not only the bad things stick, but the good things stick too.
Yes. What is that saying that you're seeing around? And I would credit the person if I knew who it was. But if we carry our traumas, if trauma is genetic, then so is joy. So we leave just as much joy to our children as we do trauma.
Exactly. Zoe, what do you think there, young one?
Oh, I think I've probably said it before, but I just always go back to that saying too of like, be careful how you speak to children, because, you know, that voice becomes the voice in their head. And I've definitely found that true in my life. So really important to always be kind to everybody, but especially our little ones, because they're just trying to make sense of the world, you know, and it's a pretty crazy world to make sense of.
Yeah, it really is. So Ogma, you got the news coming up last segment here? Do you want to
sure
give us a minute preview?
Yeah, the preview of the news. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Prayer Horse Ride 2023, which is a memorial for Myron Dewey, among other things. And I'm also going to be talking about the legislative bills, about five of them, actually, that you can sign and contact your sign petitions for, contact Governor Walz, contact your legislator to support, to help protect water in Minnesota from mining in Minnesota. So we're going to talk about the Prove It First. We're going to talk about the right to repair. We're going to talk about the DNR's conflict of interest to promote mining. We're going to talk about a few others too. So I've got those and their numbers and a great place where you can all go and sign up to contact your legislator about them.
Before you came on, we were talking a little bit about Standing Rock and so if she'd went there, but the first person that I met that was kind of Standing Rock famous was Myron Dewey, and he was signing in press and giving us press passes. And you'll talk a little bit more about him and his legacy in the next segment. So good to see you, Ogama. Zoe, always good to see you. And we just had Judge Everett Mitchell on to kick off the show. So really excited to round and end the show with Ogama with the news you don't hear anywhere else. So we'll be right back after this short break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
At Metro State University, students learn how to change the world their way through in-demand degree programs including healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, and business. Realize your power to change in a learning environment dedicated to equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. Explore 60-plus bachelor's degree programs at Metro State's open house events, online March 28th and in person March 30th. Visit metrostate.edu/openhouse for details. Metro State University, where learning meets living.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Native American rights are on the ballot April 4th. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She values Wisconsin's tribes as sovereign nations and recognizes Native rights with fairness and integrity. Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering. We deserve someone that knows these things matter. In-person early voting begins March 21st. Check your municipality's early voting schedule at vote.wisdoms.org or call the voter protection hotline at 608-336-3232. You can register to vote at the polls on Election Day with a photo ID and proof of residence. Your tribal ID can be used as a photo ID to vote. Stand up for your people. Vote for someone who will stand up for you and stand up for Native rights. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
Hey, this is, I want to introduce Ogama, and she does our news here. And this is the news where you don't hear anywhere else with the news here with Ogama. Wow, what a long sentence. I like. Can we do that over? Oh, no, we're live. Hey, Ogama, welcome.
Hey, Buju relatives. I'm Ogama Ganua Kwe. My name means strong golden eagle woman, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and we have some news for you here on Native Roots Radio. The first thing I want to do is a little bit of a preview for guests we're going to have on tomorrow. We're going to have guests from the Prayer Horse Ride 2023, which is a ride about community, healing, strength, awareness, prayer, and unity. It is an honor and remembrance of the late Myron Dewey to bring awareness to protect Pihi Maha, also known as Thacker Pass, from lithium mining, to bring awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous women and persons, to bring awareness to protect all sacred places, to protect Indigenous religious freedoms, and to bring awareness about the bombing range expansion at NAS Fallon. We're going to have the brother of Myron Dewey on, as well as another organizer of the ride, and possibly one more guest, as well as the wonderful journalist River Ackman, who's going to be joining us with some live drone footage of the ride. I do believe they are somewhere in... Nixon, and I think that's in Nevada, but it might be in Montana. I don't have a GPS signal on them, but they'll let us know where they are tomorrow. I'm really excited to talk about all the reasons that they're doing this ride and to touch base about the memory of Myron Dewey, who is somebody that I always knew of, but I never got the pleasure to meet before he left us for the other world. So I'm excited to learn more about his legacy, as well as talk to people about how to protect Thacker Pass or Pihi Maha, and you know, all those things that we talk about here on Native Roots Radio all the time. So excited for that tomorrow. I want to touch base here from Indian Country today. Inupiaq musher Ryan Reddington won this year's Iditarod, and the top American men's finisher in the 2023 LA Marathon was Hopi. And, you know, that is so exciting to see Indigenous people taking the top in things and, you know, getting that recognition for it. I think that that's equally as important, like Zoe said earlier in the show, for our Indigenous youth being able to see ourselves displayed in media and our stories live on the big screen. It's equally as important to have those people to look up to, those healthy role models. Yesterday was the international panel, 2 days ago, was the International Panel on Climate Change, and they released the final installment of their sixth report. It was pretty grim, very stark findings about burning fossil fuels threatening the stability for the life of most of Earth, and that our chance to avoid these impacts is vanishing quickly. And there were nearly 100 cities yesterday that took to the streets to stop dirty banks on a day of action. So they were outside in front of Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup as they hosted their annual general meetings 5 weeks from today. They were up front cutting up their credit cards and debit cards and pulling their money out to divest from those banks. And it's beautiful to see people taking action to protect water, to protect land, to protect each other. Public pensions are some of the largest investors in Wall Street banks, which kind of gives them huge leverage over whether or not banks stop financing fossil fuels. California has state pension funds of about $5.4 billion worth of shares in four of the largest U.S. banks. The New York teachers pension has $2.4 billion, and even Washington has $2 billion invested in some of the world's largest funders of fossil fuels. So that is a sneaky way that these banks are being funded through your pension. So if that's something you haven't taken the time to examine, it's worth calling up and seeing where you can make sure to divest from, even if it's not just your personal money, making sure that your retirement is not funding the destruction of the planet is important. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about here locally in Minnesota are some options for people take action. And one of the biggest ways that people can take action is to contact our legislators and talk to them about things that are important to you. One of the most important ones is going to be the Prove It First bill, which is House File 1618 here in Minnesota. Prove It First is legislation that would require mining companies and other environmental polluters to prove that before a copper sulfide mine could be permitted, that they must show independent scientific proof that a copper sulfide mine has operated elsewhere within the United States for at least 10 years without causing pollution and has been closed for at least 10 years without closing pollution. 10 years seems like an excessive amount of time on both ends of that, but in fact, it's not. And in many cases, many of these mega projects are, you know, they're given a wide berth of, you know, 10, 15, 20 years to stay in operation. Other great ones that you can sign up to help with include the Taxpayer Protection Act, which is Senate File SF-1818, House File HF-1961. And that one is the Taxpayer Protection Act basically requires that these companies, copper sulfide mining and otherwise, who have a terrible history of pollution and, you know, really bad track records for cleanup in an environmental disaster, would mean that those companies have to fully fund any financial assurance packages up front and in cash. Similar to your pension funds funding the climate crisis, it's really common for these companies that come in to not have to actually have any sort of financial assurance to clean up any damages they might do until 8 to 11 years into the project. And up until that point, and even after that point, many of them are kind of those invisible monies that these companies can come up with, their IOUs. And in that time, there's, you know, woefully inadequate insurance here in Minnesota for our communities to be able to clean up for that. So, the next one I want to talk about is the Bad Actor Bill, which again relates to Twin Metals and the copper sulfide mining industry here in Minnesota. And it is about Glencore, who's the proposed owner of the owner of the proposed Polymet mine. And it's named one of the worst companies for work for steel workers in the United States. They have a history of pollution, corruption, and human rights violations, including child labor. So this bad actor bill would be a way for you to take action and stand up against the awful policies that Glencore has, as well as working to protect Minnesota's land and water. And there's also options to sign up to remove the DNR conflict of interest to promote mining. Minnesota does not actually have a strict environmental review system that prevents pollution of the state's clean water. And one of the most glaring instances of this problem is the Minnesota DNR, the Department of Natural Resources. Both has an obligation to protect Minnesota's natural resources and an obligation to promote mining. So there's a conflict of interest there, and there is legislation and information that you can do as well. So one of the best places you can go to get information about all of these, and who I want to credit for much of the information I've got on this, is Friends of the Boundary Waters at friends-bwca.org. That's Friends of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area.org. And they have a Get Involved tab, and it links all of this information here, including the Minnesota Clean Water Plan, which has an appropriation for the U of M Water Council to develop a science-based plan to protect Minnesota the next 50 years, as well as the right to repair, which is the demand for electric vehicles. So lots of ways to get involved and to take action by contacting your legislature, and Friends of the Boundary Waters makes it easy.
Hey, thanks for the update, Ogma. I also want to give a quick peeny geegee to Zoe, Judge Everett Mitchell today, and all our listening audience all over Turtle Island. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office.
the Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.